Welcome back to Random Trek, the podcast where I, your host, Scott McNulty, discuss a random episode of Star Trek with a non-random guest. My guest for this episode is Aline Sims. Thank you for joining me.
Hello, I'm so happy to be here.
I'm excited that you're here. It took us a while to get it all coordinated, but now we're here. We're here to talk about Star Trek. It's very exciting. Tell the people how they might know you.
The majority of the people who do know me will probably know me through my own podcast, Less Than or Equal, in which I talk to a geeky person about the thing they love. It's a once-a-week show, and the catch is that person has to be marginalized in some way in that thing that they love. So I've had a lot of women, a lot of people of color. I've had quite a few transgender guests, people who are gay, you know, so it's the ship of misfits, and we roll along on the sea and talk about fun things usually. And I also have another podcast actually that I always forget to plug. I'm sorry, guys. It's the Gem podcast, and we watch an episode of Gem and the Holograms and talk about it for like a 20-minute episode. We talk like an hour about it.
There's a movie, right?
That's coming out? There's a movie coming out, and there was a rant about.
Oh, all right.
There are feelings. There are feelings.
Well,
for sure.
So anyway, I must admit I have never watched an episode of Gem and Holograms. So
it's not good. I'm just going to be flat out honest. I have really fond memories of it because I watched it when I was really little. So it was always like, you know, ooh, Jim's so pretty and she's a star. And watching it now as an adult, it's like, wow, this show is super problematic. So, you know. But it's a lot of fun to do the podcast.
I've had that same experience. When I was a kid, I was obsessed with MacGyver. So I loved it.
Oh, don't break my heart. I haven't watched MacGyver in a long time. Is it awful?
Here's my recommendation to you. Do not watch it again.
I had the biggest crush on Richard Dean Anderson when I was like really little. Yeah. Okay, I'm just going to leave it.
Yeah, because it came up on Netflix or streaming somewhere. And I thought, oh my God, I love MacGyver. I'm going to rewatch all of MacGyver. And then I watched a couple episodes and I was like, maybe I'll just try and preserve my loving memories of MacGyver.
My childhood.
Just put this back where it was and pretend it never happened.
Yep, I understand.
But we're not here to talk about Gem and the Holograms or MacGyver, although I'm sure there is a MacGyver podcast out there. So Google that. But we are here to talk about Star Trek, which has not disappointed. Well, I'm not going to say it hasn't disappointed me. There are many things about Star Trek that disappoint me, but I still love it.
I do too.
And there's my first question was going to be, do you consider yourself a Star Trek fan?
Oh, absolutely. I grew up watching Star Trek. In fact, it's on the Less Than or Equal homepage. I have a little blurb about myself, and that's one of the things in there is like something like from watching Star Trek from the age of like 3 when The Next Generation started or whenever it was. You know, it's been the background to my life in a lot of ways. I grew up, you know, from a little girl, you know, all the way into my adulthood. Like I still rewatch it like to this day, thanks to Amazon and Netflix. So yeah, it's always been very, very prominent in my life.
Now here's a question that I want to turn into a regular question, but I always forget it. And so it's on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being you are aware of Star Trek, 10 being that you have attended a Star Trek convention in costume. How would you rank yourself as a Star Trek fan?
I'm definitely not a 10. I've been high, probably like, oh, it's hard, like a 7 or 8. You know, I listen to other shows on The Incomparable, like Counterclockwise or some of the drafts that you've done around Star Trek. And, you know, you talk about your favorite ships and that kind of thing. And I realized actually through one of the more recent ones that I'm all about connections to people. And I think that's, you know, why I do a lot of the things that I do. And so I'm about like the relationships between people and why did this person do this thing in that way? And like, yeah, that ship is cool. And, you know, I can tell you whether it's a warbird or a bird of prey or whatever, but I don't have a favorite ship and I don't have, you know, like a favorite tactical move. And, you know, like kind of the deeper Star Trek lore is not something that I'm into, but I can talk about the people all day.
Well, the correct tactical move to be favorite is the Picard maneuver, just so you know.
Okay. Well, with Picard, how can you go wrong?
Well, exactly. Although all the tactical maneuvers that they name in the show tend to be super lame. The lamest being the Riker maneuver, which involves ejecting your warp core and blowing it up.
Yeah, that sounds like Riker.
Which doesn't sound like it would be great, but that's the Riker maneuver.
You know.
Well, so you're a fan. You're a solid fan. You're just not obsessed with the tech, basically. And I think that Star Trek, at its best, is about the characters. So I'm with you there.
It's like my husband has a book with like the blueprints for the ships, and he's like, when we first met in 2007, he was like, you need to read this. Like, it was a solemn like rite of passage. You know,
the Starfleet technical manual.
Yeah, and it's 8 years later, and I have not done yet that yet.
You haven't done the homework yet.
I hope he doesn't listen to this.
I believe I have a copy of that somewhere, but I don't know if I've read it myself. So
he has.
It's a cool to look through because it has blueprints and stuff, but
yeah
I don't know if it's cool to I shouldn't say it's not cool. I don't think it would be fun for me to read it, but as I've said on many times on this show, I support all people's fandoms and their expressions therein. So if you want to read the Starfleet technical manual front to back, more power to you. That's what I say.
Yeah, totally agree.
All right, well, let's talk about what is your favorite series of Star Trek.
Oh, see, I knew you would ask me that, and I just don't know. Okay, so I'm going to get in trouble. You might boot me off because I know that the original series is your jam.
I do like the original series.
But
not as much as Jason Snell, though. I think probably
I know.
TNG is my jam, with the original series being a close second.
Yeah, so with apologies to Jason, the Next Generation and Enterprise are actually tied for like the ones I don't really like. Yeah. I grew up with the Next Generation, so it's really hard to separate the nostalgia from like the, like, do I like this because it reminds me of, you know, spending time with my mom and really, you know, figuring out who I am and that kind of thing. And because I watched it for like 4 hours every night through high school because it was on, I think, like Fox or something. Or, you know, like Deep Space Nine, I think is a really, really solid show. It's definitely got its share of stinkers, don't get me wrong, but, you know, the story arcs in that show are amazing. So it's really hard for me because I love watching The Next Generation because I can just drop in and watch an episode whenever I want to and it's fine. Whereas like Deep Space Nine, you know, they're like the story arcs, and if I don't remember everything perfectly, I can be slightly lost in an episode, and I can't decide between those two. I love them both so much.
Well, if I had to choose two series that if for some reason I had the power, which seems strange, to wipe out all Star Trek except for two series, which also seems strange.
I wouldn't
do it. I would resist. But if I had to, if someone held a phaser to my head and said, I'm going to kill you unless you wipe out all Star Trek except for two particular series, which is ridiculous, I would save The Next Generation and Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, yeah.
Because The Next Generation is, you know, kind of what got me into Star Trek. And it's kind of like, you know, whenever I see an episode, it's like putting on a warm, fuzzy jacket that's so comfortable.
Yes.
And it's they're my TV friends. And I remember all the episodes, and the nostalgia around it, like you were saying, is so strong. But Deep Space Nine, I feel like I'm just basically repeating what you said, but Deep Space Nine is probably a better TV show than The Next Generation. Yeah. And certainly the characters and the stories are deeper and interlocking and well meshed. But like you said, that makes it difficult to kind of dip in. And especially as someone who's hosting a podcast in which I select a random episode of Star Trek, I always fear. There's a slight moment of panic when I get a Deep Space Nine episode because I think, uh-oh, is this like the third part of a 9-part story arc, which will be difficult to discuss.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and like I have a cat. He died a long time ago, but like I had a cat named Sisko. Like Deep Space Nine is always going to be really important to me, but it's a lot harder to pick up and leave off, and you know, yeah.
Yes, and I feel like Deep Space Nine and the Next Generation have the best characters outside, of course, of the Holy Trinity of Star Trek, McCoy, Spock, and Kirk.
Yes,
establish it, right? But outside of them, and they have a great relationship, and especially through the movies, it really fleshes those three characters out.
Yeah.
And not the other characters really, but a little bit.
Yeah. Like, in a way, I'm glad that your question is what's your favorite series and not who are your favorite characters, because I would be here for like 6 hours trying to like unweave that web. It would just be impossible for me to choose.
I was going to ask you that based on the fact that you're talking about how it's all about characters for you. So the natural question was going to be, who are some of your favorite characters? I won't say who is your favorite character. I could be specific and we could do the captains. Like, who's your favorite captain, if that
makes
sense?
I can't even pick that because it's because you've got Picard, Sisko, and Janeway, who I think are all amazing for different reasons. Mm-hmm. Lord. Who are some of my favorite characters? Riker, you know, Picard. I loved the idea of Geordi growing up, and I kind of had a crush on him, but I kind of feel like he got short shrifted a lot of the time.
Yes.
You know, Data, I think, is a really fascinating character. I know Georgia Dow, you know, is very anti-Data, but I think that it was a really, really interesting character.
Shockingly anti-Data.
Right. You know, of course, there's Spock. McCoy, love McCoy. Despise Kirk. He's just a womanizing jerk. I know. I'm so sorry, but
I find Kirk to be entertaining, but I think that if I were to serve on a ship and Kirk were the captain, I would fear for my life.
Yeah.
And if I were a woman serving on a ship with Kirk, I would fear for many things.
For other things. let's see. So that's gosh. So then we get to Deep Space Nine. And of course, I liked Jadzia Dax. I did not like Ezri. I think if we had more time with Ezri, maybe it would have been better. But we didn't really get to know her. And it was kind of weird with Julian. And I don't know. Of course, Sisko. You know, I named my cat Sisko.
He's a great character.
Yeah, he is. Oh gosh, Kira, you know, like a lot
everybody.
Of
everybody. You like all the characters.
Everybody, yeah. Garak is one of my favorite characters.
Garak's great.
Like, he's amazing. You know, and then we have Voyager. We've got Janeway. I love Seven of Nine. I love the Doctor, played by Robert Picardo. Although, if you want to switch fandoms, Matt Smith is pretty cool. But David Tennant will always be my Doctor.
I've never thought of this. There should totally be a Doctor Who Voyager crossover where the Doctor meets the Doctor.
Oh, that would be amazing. I'm sure someone's written that because of the internet. But yeah, so like even a top 10 list is really, really hard for me because there's so many amazing personalities.
Now, I have noticed. The random Trek episode generator has given us an Enterprise episode by the name of A Night in Sickbay.
I noticed
season
that
two.
Too.
You watched
Porthos.
It as Porthos.
Porthos is one of my favorite characters, and so is Dr. Phlox.
I was going to ask. You didn't mention any Enterprise characters, so I was going to say, who are your favorite characters on Enterprise?
Yeah, I have a hard time with Enterprise. I have a really hard time with Enterprise.
Well, let's talk about Enterprise as a thing. Before we get into this episode, because I feel like, and I've said this every time I talk about Enterprise on this podcast, I always say the same thing, but it's because I think it's true. I'm not mad at Enterprise. I'm disappointed in Enterprise because I feel like it was such a great idea and there was so much potential. And I don't know what happened, but it just didn't work for me.
Yeah. I remember, so I actually didn't watch it until 3 or 4 years ago, you know, when it finally came to Netflix is when I watched it because I didn't have a TV when it was airing. Mm-hmm. And the theme song, I was like, I hate the theme song. My husband was like, you'll grow to love it by the end of the series. I am on record as not loving the theme song at any point in time.
You are in the right place because I also... Every time I hear, now I skip over the title sequence, but I despise that theme song so much. Mm-hmm. And it's not, I mean, I don't think the song is very good anyway, but it is the very idea that a Star Trek series would start with a kind of crappy, poppy, love ballady kind of thing just offends me.
Yep, me too. Yep.
That being said, I do really like the title sequence. If it had a better song to it, I think it'd be really great.
That kind of history of flight is amazing. I think it's really, really neat to watch. I totally agree with you. But yeah, it's almost country sounding, like a country pop song.
It's a little twang.
Yeah, it just It's not about adventure. Like, I can't figure out what the show's supposed to be about just from the theme song or even by watching it, but that's for later. So yeah, like I'm not a fan of the theme song.
No, and it does not grow on me. I've heard it many, many times, mm-hmm. and I've actually heard different versions of it, and I don't like it in any format.
The Mirror Universe one is better.
Yes.
But yeah, no.
And the Mirror Universe episodes are better than yes. this episode that we've watched.
So much more interesting.
Yes. And now this makes me think, what theme song or opening music do I like the most of all the series? Which I don't know if I've talked about. I really like, and then I'll ask you the same question. I like both, I like Voyager's song a lot. Mm-hmm. And I like the original series mm-hmm. opening, especially the ladies. I enjoy that part very much. And of course, The Next Generation, also Deep Space Nine. So I think everyone but Enterprise, I think I like. How about you?
I'm kind of with you. I love them all for different reasons. I like The Next Generation, you know, because it's the Star Trek I grew up with. I thought mm-hmm. Deep Space Nine's is beautiful. The original series is iconic. You know, they're all really good. You know, if pressed to choose, I would say The Next Generation, just because that holds so many fond memories for me. But you know, it's not strictly based on merit. Which I guess favorites never are. But.
Well, that's true. And it starts off so strongly. Like the Next Generation one is like in your face immediately.
Yeah.
Deep Space Nine I like as well, but it kind of builds up to the crescendo, which makes sense in, you know, they're panning across the station and the wormhole. So it all makes sense. But this Enterprise theme song doesn't make any sense.
No. Yeah, it's weird.
It's no good.
It's weird, yeah.
So we don't like – neither of us like the theme song. And I tweeted earlier today after watching this episode that every time I watch an episode of Enterprise, I am reminded of how bad a captain I think Captain Archer is. And I've spoken before about how I think Captain Archer as a character is kind of boring. And I like Scott Bakula a lot, but I think
– Quantum Leap, come on.
Yeah, I always am like, I want you to be charming, but you are like a sour blanket. A sour mm-hmm. blanket, that's not even a thing. A wet blanket, a sour puss, there you go, as Captain
He's
Archer.
Both.
Yes, it's true. It's the combined form. And I don't understand why, if it was like the producer or the director told him to do that, or if that was an acting choice or something, I don't know.
And this episode especially is like Jeffrey Archer at his absolute lowest.
I agree. I mean, so I agree that Porthos is one of my favorite characters on Enterprise. Mm-hmm. He's super cute.
He's super cute.
I like Porthos a lot, and he's in peril in this episode. So that's sad because you don't want Porthos to die, and Porthos may die. Although, of course, you know he's not going to die.
Because Dr. Phlox is amazing.
Dr. Phlox has like 18 million degrees.
Right.
And he will – we'll get back to that scene too because I think that's another problematic thing about Archer. But I think to myself, why is Porthos on this spaceship? It seems like that is a telling characteristic that the captain would bring a dog with him on this kind of risky – one-of-a-kind mission that they're on.
Yeah.
And nobody else has a dog. Dr. Phlox has lots of animals with him, but they're all there for medicinal reasons, right?
Well, Hoshi had that slug that they left on some random planet and didn't, like, take into consideration what it might do to the ecosystem or what chain of events it might set up. That's one of my first memories of Enterprise, actually, is watching the scene where Hoshi just leaves this foreign matter on this planet and is like, have a good life. Ugh.
Hoshi, no.
Hoshi, what are you thinking? You're not thinking.
Oh, Hoshi.
Anyway, sorry.
Hoshi also. So let's talk about, I know we jumped into some problem. I jumped into, well, no, we're talking about characters. My problems with Captain Archer is that he is a sourpuss, and I feel like he is slightly abusing his authority by bringing a dog along with him. And, you know, and there are many episodes where, of course, Porthos is cute, so it's not Porthos' fault. But everybody has to do stuff for Porthos because he's a dog and he's on a spaceship and dogs don't belong on spaceships. So, and in this episode, Captain Archer decides, oh, we're having this difficult diplomatic mission with these this persnickety alien race that has a critical thing that we need. So why don't I bring my dog with me on the diplomatic mission?
Right? How does that make any sense?
It makes no sense whatsoever, unless you're insane.
Right.
Or everyone is too afraid to tell you, maybe you should leave your dog here, Captain.
Right. Like, in retrospect, you know, T'Pol was like, well, maybe you shouldn't have taken your dog, yes. You know, because your dog's going to need to relieve himself and, you know, things happen.
On their sacred trees, apparently.
You know what? This reminds me of the episode of The Next Generation where
Wesley. Yes. Yeah. Wesley is the Porthos in that episode.
Wesley.
And that is that's the episode where there are incredibly fit people wearing wildly inappropriate clothing, running, jogging everywhere. And Wesley goes across like a lawn or something and he's sentenced to death because you're not supposed to do that.
Yep. Awful. I just now made that connection in my head. Like, Wesley is the dog. Okay.
Well, I guess a young Will Wheaton was cute. Porthos is cute.
Yes.
Makes sense.
It's true.
People questioned why Wesley Crusher was on the bridge. I questioned why Porthos is on the Enterprise.
There are a lot of parallels here. Porthos gets treated a lot better than Wesley Crusher did, though, to be honest.
That is sad, but true.
Nobody said, shut up, Porthos.
No, everybody's concerned about Porthos.
Right, they bring him cheese. It's a good life.
He's doing pretty well, that Porthos. Except for this episode, because he is going down to this planet. He gets an alien pathogen. He may die. It's really Captain Archer's fault when you get right down to it. And Captain Archer seems to be incapable of having, like, dealing with two separate things at once.
Which is kind of weird for a captain, right?
Yeah, you would think that he would do this all the time, but he seems like, now, okay, so he loves Porthos. I understand that he's a pet. We've all had pets. We care about them deeply. They're members of our family, right? And he doesn't have a wife, they point out in this episode. So, and they're all alone. They've been on this long mission. I understand it. I get it. He loves his dog. But also, he's the captain of this ship, and he has a responsibility to the crew, and his dog lives on the ship as well, so he should be able to deal with the dog and deal with this incredibly important diplomatic mission, but he seems incapable of doing that.
No. And from the beginning, so, like, the first scene is we see Hoshi T'Pol and Archer and Porthos in the decon chamber, which,
man, the decon chamber.
Why do they have to be in their underwear? Why do they have to, like, sensually rub gels all over each other? It's so weird. Like, spray tans have existed for a really long time. You'd think there'd be, like, a spray decon gel. Whatever. Okay, fine. But, like, from the very beginning, Archer is a petulant child in this episode. He's just like, he's a little kid who didn't get what he wanted. And so now he's just going to lash out. That is this episode, like, and Porthos is sick. That is this episode.
Also, Porthos is sick.
Also, Porthos is sick.
Yes, Archer is, so Trip and Archer, well, I guess we should, so the ship's some kind of, something's not right on the ship. Plasma injectors.
Yeah.
I had to remember what the jargon was. They have, apparently, the Enterprise uses 5 plasma injectors. But it needs to have 4 to work correctly. If you go into warp with 3, bad things happen. And one of them is failing. And so they need to, this alien race has a bunch of plasma injectors, I guess, that work with this equipment somehow miraculously. It's not really explained. But that seems, I guess maybe there's a universal standard for plasma injectors. I don't know. But they've got them. And so Captain Archer needs to convince them to give them 1 plasma injector, right? That's all Captain Archer needs to do. It seems fairly simple.
Mm-hmm.
He finds out that these aliens are very strict about matters of protocol, and they were insulted because I guess Captain Archer and the crew were eating lunch on the ship, and that somehow insulted these aliens, and so they didn't want to talk anymore, and now the captain had to apologize, and his apology didn't work. And so he's very perturbed by this whole deal. And basically, he decides his solution is, well, 4 of them are working. Why do we even need a 5th one?
Which is, are you a captain? He's a kid. He's a child.
Yeah, I don't want to have to deal with these difficult people. So right. Let's risk everyone's lives mm-hmm. and see if we can maybe find one somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't seem like a mature reaction.
Right. It's like I got in a fight with my boyfriend, so I'm going to drive off in my car really, really fast and like, I don't know, maybe swerve towards some poles and see how that goes.
Because what's the worst that could happen?
Right.
And Trip, there's a scene where Trip says, well, you know, if one of these fails while on warp, we'll all die. So it's kind of important that we get an extra one. And Archer's like, what's the likelihood that one would fail while we're in warp? And Trip is like, I'm not so comfortable at all right. with it at all. You know, and I'm not a huge fan of Trip, but he makes a very good point in this episode.
Yeah.
That's really all he does in this episode. But
yeah, also, I was just thinking he wasn't around much.
No, they show at the end he makes a kind of a wacky face at Archer when he's doing this complicated ritual apology, which didn't look all that complicated, to be frank. but that's all he does. He smirks, and he also asks for plasma injectors.
Yeah. All right. Well,
Captain Archer is having none of it.
Trip.
At least he's not pregnant in this episode, so. So this episode made me question how Captain Archer even got to be Captain Archer.
Mm-hmm.
And Trip points out, he's like, you're a trained diplomat. You should be able to handle this. At which point I thought, he's a trained diplomat. He's right. doing a really bad job. He seems like...
He was trained. It doesn't mean he was well trained.
That's true. Or he didn't pay attention. He was
right.
busy learning how to, I don't know what, care for his dog or something. I don't know.
Apparently not. Like, don't take your dog on alien planets.
Well, I know. But apparently he took it on the alien planet because Porthos has a right to fresh air, too. That was his whole reason.
You should have thought about that before you brought Porthos on an inter... I'm just evolving into noises.
And so that's basically the whole show is... Well, that's the setup. And then the show is that... So Porthos has to stay in sickbay because he's got this alien pathogen. And Dr. Phlox wants to save Porthos so Porthos doesn't die. He doesn't think that Porthos is going to die at first, but then things progress. And there's a chance that Porthos may die. So, of course, Dr. Phlox wants to make sure that doesn't happen because he's a doctor. And it probably wouldn't look good on his record if the captain's dog died under his watch.
No. Yeah.
Even though it wasn't Dr. Phlox's fault. And so Captain Archer, being obsessed with Porthos and not caring about his crew at all, decides that the best course of action is that he should hide in sickbay, basically, while this diplomatic tension is rising in the diplomatic front. And the aliens have sent up kind of their list of things that Archer has to do in order to make up for Porthos peeing on their super important ancestral trees, which he, I guess, ignores for most of the episode.
Yeah, and then suddenly at the end, there he is doing it.
There he is doing it. So most of this episode is wacky things happen in sickbay.
In sickbay, yeah.
And it's split between wacky things happen in sickbay and Captain Archer pouts a lot.
Right.
Which, entertaining, I guess.
Yeah. And I think that the sickbay bits are what redeems this episode from, like, instead of me thinking, oh, yeah, this is one of the worst Enterprise episodes, I think, because... You know, like Dr. Phlox is Denobulan and he only has to sleep something like a week a year or a week every 6 months or something. And so he goes into hibernation mode, but he's up 24/7 otherwise. And so, you know, what does he do when everyone else is sleeping? And so I think it's really neat. And, you know, we always hear about all these different animals and we kind of get to see them and they're eating toenail clippings. And that's kind of weird. But
I was going to bring that up.
Really gross, but I kind of thought that was neat. And there's an episode with Hoshi, you know, where she kind of does a little bit of stuff like when Phlox is sleeping, I think, which I also like because it's just like a look at all these different kind of species that we've never seen before on Star Trek. And I kind of like that element, and that's about it for the show.
Well, Dr. Phlox, I agree with you, is one of my favorite characters on Enterprise. So anytime he's involved, I'm on board.
Yeah.
And because he plays Star Trek aliens tend to be not so alien. You know, they usually have like a forehead prosthesis or something or pointy ears. But that's pretty much the most alienness about them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Dr. Phlox and the Denoblians, they decided, let's super alien up him.
Yes.
Which I think works great.
Me too.
He kind of has a – he speaks in a kind of affectation kind of way because, you know, English is obviously not his first language. He explains in this episode like he has 18 different degrees that cover a variety of medical fields because Denoblians live so long, which was another thing that annoyed me because Captain Archer was like, oh, I didn't realize you could operate on things that weren't humans. Dr. Phlox was like, I have like 85 degrees. And you would think a captain would know this about his chief medical officer.
Yeah.
So I'm like, come on, Captain Archer. Do the homework.
Isn't it said at some point, like, isn't it like Archer handpicked the crew or something? And
I think so.
Or you know, just, I mean, you're going on a deep space mission with these people, or as deep space mission, you know, as you can get at this point in technology. And so, like, you're just going to go and you're not going to find out about them? That's kind of weird. Like, I'm not that trusting.
There aren't that – I forget what the crew complement on this Enterprise is.
Isn't that less than 100?
I think it is less than 100.
Yeah. It's small.
It's not – he doesn't have to remember that many people.
Yeah.
Not that he doesn't remember who Dr. Phlox is, but not knowing he has like 80 million degrees seems like an oversight on his part.
Yeah. You know, and you'd think he'd be utilizing his I don't know. It's not xenobiology for animals, I don't think. I guess it would be any kind of alien life, but like using those kinds of skills on these planets that they're supposed to be like checking out and that kind of thing, you'd think he'd be involved in that in some way. Like,
that's true. And plus, yeah, sick bay is full of animals, so it's pretty clear that Dr. Phlox knows a thing or two about animals.
Yeah.
We're being a little hard on Captain Archer. Maybe it's because he's so concerned. No, you're not going to give him any.
No. No, he doesn't get any slack.
All right, well, I retract that.
Yeah.
I do enjoy when Dr. Phlox is like, you know, he points out to Captain Archer, he's like, you're kind of acting strangely. You're a little too obsessed about this dog, and you're getting angry very easily. And that could be a symptom of sexual frustration, which I found amusing. He suggests that perhaps he's attracted to T'Pol. You seem to not enjoy this as much as I do, so let's talk about it.
I'm over here like I'm looking like straight up, just shaking my head. Like, this could be a gif. I just think it's one of the things I really liked. Like, The Next Generation wasn't super great with Deanna Troi and Beverly Crusher. Like, I feel they could have been a really good, you know, really strong characters, and they weren't. And I think that was a choice that was made. But Deep Space Nine kind of got better. And then we have Voyager with, you know, Janeway and Seven of Nine and these, like, these women who are on the ball, and, you know, they're doing amazing things. And what we see in Enterprise is T'Pol over and over being sexualized. You know, she's valued for her intellect, for her knowledge of alien species that they're encountering, you know, as far as their database goes. Anyway, you know, I'm not saying she's not valued, but over and over again, she's put in these positions where she is like the love interest. And it really frustrates me because she's this neat woman, and we set up this expectation that's what women are there for, is to be sexualized, to create sexual tension for the captain so he can act like a jerk, you know, for an episode. It really frustrates me.
Well, I found it amusing, but then I was frustrated because at the end, so he asks Dr. Phlox, you know, and I agree with you. He asks Dr. Phlox, you know, what should I do? Should I tell T'Pol that I like her? you know, theoretically, because clearly I don't, but I guess he does. I don't know. It's very confusing.
And all of this is happening while they're doing surgery on the dog.
It is true. Are you kidding me?
You're literally doing brain surgery. Literally doing brain surgery, and you are being an angsty 16-year-old about a girl.
Yes.
Like, oh.
And basically, Dr. Phlox says, I can't help you with this part. You know, do whatever you think is right. And so he goes off to talk to T'Pol after, you know, Porthos is safe. Oh, spoiler alert, Porthos does not die, in case anyone is concerned. He does have an iguana or a chameleon pituitary gland or something.
Chameleon.
Chameleon, yes, yeah. There you go. And that was another funny moment where he's putting the chameleon pituitary gland in, and Captain Archer's like, is there going to be any changes in his behavior? And Dr. Phlox says, no, you may have a harder time finding him, but it'll be fine. And Captain Archer's like, really? And Phlox is like, no, you idiot.
That's not how this works.
No, he'll still be a dog. But anyway, so Archer goes off, and they had had – so T'Pol – and Archer had this scene in the gym where they were running on treadmills, and T'Pol was going faster than Archer, and clearly Archer couldn't allow that, so he would speed up, and then T'Pol would speed up, and back and forth, you know, whatever. And that's the scene in which T'Pol says, you know, Captain, maybe you should have left your dog on the planet and on the ship, and he gets upset about that. So they have another scene where he's like, you know, hey – Dr. Phlox tells me that there could be some unintended consequences with sexual tension. And then T'Pol's like, well, good thing that you're my superior officer. And so we cannot have these kinds of attractions, even if we do. And that led me to believe, well, maybe T'Pol is into Archer, which I was like, why would you do that? You should just have her shut him down, because clearly it's inappropriate. And he's an idiot anyway. And T'Pol could do much better.
Well, you can't. His fragile man ego in this episode is such that she cannot. That, like, there is no way to gently let him down. Like, she's got to let him believe.
Oh, that's an interesting way of looking at it. So you think that she's just kind of like, okay, crazy man?
No, I really don't. I really, really don't. But, like, I'm so mad at Archer in this episode that I have no goodwill toward him. No, I think the implication, I remember watching, when I watched this the first time, thinking, oh, T'Pol and Archer are going to get together. Mm-hmm. So my interpretation has always been that that was kind of a sincere thing she was saying but not saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I found disappointing.
Yes, I agree.
Because
Archer is...
Yeah, Archer's no good. Yeah. He's no Picard or Sisko or Janeway or even Kirk.
Well, he's kind of bordering on Kirk in this episode.
He's kind of like a second run Kirk in this episode.
Yeah.
I feel like Kirk wouldn't really care this much about a dog, but maybe he would. I don't know.
True.
And he certainly wouldn't have done that ritual at the end. He would have gone down and been like, this whole thing is stupid and I'm just taking the plasma injectors. And Spock would have been like, well, maybe we shouldn't do that.
Yeah. With a little cocked eyebrow.
The episode ends with Porthos survives. Captain Archer finally remembers, oh, that's right, I'm in charge of this starship and there's a bunch of people's lives depending on me. Maybe I should get my act together and be a captain and a diplomat and basically do what these people want me to do so that
shirtless.
They'll give us shirtless. Yes. Doesn't make any sense what they want him to do, but he does it. Shirtless, log sawing and singing, I guess.
So weird with the beads in his hair, mm-hmm. And I was like, how many is this, like, cultural appropriation? Because, like, it was very odd. I had feelings about that scene. I don't quite understand them.
Yeah, I'm assuming they wanted him to dress like that, but it seems like he was making fun of them.
I don't know.
It was very strange. It was a very strange scene.
Yeah.
Only made stranger by the fact that the rest of the kind of the crew is, well, the crew that has names that we know. I don't even know if all of them there. Trip was there. Hoshi maybe was there. T'Pol was there. And they're watching him do this. And he does it. And the aliens are happy. And apparently he does it so well that not only do they get one plasma injector, but they throw in a few bonus plasma injectors.
Which is bizarre. Like, okay, I don't know.
This whole episode.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Is bizarre.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the episode. They get their plasma injectors and they leave, and everybody's happy. Porthos is alive. The aliens are happy because Archer did their ritualistic apology. Trip is happy because the ship won't blow up. Porthos is happy because he gets some cheese. Everybody wins.
Although why they give him cheese is beyond me, but whatever.
He likes it. That's why they
kill your dog. Give him cheese. Whatever.
Well, Dr. Phlox can fix him up. So
that's true.
He'll live forever.
Use another lizard body part and just fix him right up.
I will say my favorite parts of this episode are when Dr. Phlox is talking about his relationships and how he has five children and he misses and his wives, and he misses his wives and his children and the other husbands. And apparently there are like 270 people involved in a Deloblian relationship. And I just thought that was great, and how he missed them all. And because he is kind of, he's every Star Trek series needs a character that is unlike everybody else and kind of alone and is one of a kind, or at least cut off from the rest of their people. And that's what he is. And so he's kind of, you know, a wacky guy, but also with a twist of bittersweet.
Yeah. And, you know, I thought it was, they set up for later episodes where they actually like address racism, which is really cool. And I was setting up like, this is one of the very few races that we've met that aren't like monogamous. And so, you know, kind of just letting that be a thing, that's not a big deal, I think was really neat. Like, this is why we need a new Star Trek series, is because I think Star Trek, it addresses these things so beautifully sometimes and so awfully others. But yeah, like, that's my plug for a new Star Trek series.
I agree. And I... at least it tries, right? It may do it a horrible
it does.
Job of it, but it's trying, and it's coming from a good point of view, I think. And I think that that's something we are lacking on television now, and I certainly will include my voice in the plea for a new Star Trek series. Because the movies are fun, but Star Trek, I think, really should be on TV in an episodic adventure kind of thing. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I'm sorry that we had to watch this episode.
It could have been worse.
Next on Random Trek, Enterprise Season 2, Episode 9, Singularity.